The electronic questionnaires for investigations processing system is offline now, while the Office of Personnel Management tries to fix its cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities were discovered during the investigation into the recent data breach, in which hackers stole personal information for 21.5 million people. And while much of the attention is focused on the OPM crisis impact on federal workers, contractors are impacted too in a big way. They're certain to be impacted by the backlog that's now building up while EQIP is offline. Stan Soloway is the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. He joins us to talk about what effects contractors are feeling and what they expect in the days and weeks ahead. Hi there, Stan.
Jared, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. So what are you seeing? What are you hearing from your members?
Well, basically, what we're hearing is what we've been hearing all week is more concern than actual impact yet. It's only been about a week and a half since the shutdown of EQIP.
Right.
And everybody knows that, you know, you can't start the process if you've got anybody with above a secret clearance. There's nothing to do. So a lot of companies are very concerned about being able to have the people they need to have in place. Either it's on new contracts or they have personnel turnover to transitions, which is a routine in any business or in government or where have you. So a lot of concern about whether or not they're going to be able to perform to the contract requirements, if you will. And that's on top, of course, as you said in your opening, of the concerns that everybody has across the spectrum, whether it's government, military, or contractor, about the exfiltration of personal information from the security system through the breach. So it's not been a great 2 weeks on that front. The good news is, let's say the hopeful good news is that we may see EQIP back up within the next few days, which would be terrific. If it really were to stay down at 6 weeks, or some even said it might be as long as 10 weeks, I think you'd have a really serious issue. If we can get it back up in the next few days, then maybe we'll have dodged a bullet.
That idea of bringing it back on that quickly is news to me. What gives you that level of optimism that it's going to be back so soon?
That's just some talk we've been hearing from around the administration saying that they think they may get it done faster rather than later. So just keep my fingers crossed if that's what we're hearing. Actually, Politico had a story yesterday. I don't mean to mention the competition. They had
that's
a brief
fine.
Item yesterday saying that they had heard that there was some good news, quote, coming. We did a little investigating and talked to some folks late last night and this morning, and nobody's making any commitments, but it sounds like there may actually be some movement.
You mentioned, you know, worries about not being able to perform under a contract. If that were to happen solely as a result of not being able to get industry security clearances processed, would you expect there to be some forgiveness on the government's part?
Well, you have to have some. I mean, it's nobody's fault. I think, as far as I can tell, OPM did the right thing by taking EQIP out of commission because
sure.
They discovered a vulnerability. I think one of the things we've talked to OMB about is perhaps even putting out some reminders to folks that if you do have contractors whose performance is impeded by this problem, then you've got to at least be reasonable in figuring out what modifications to a contract you have to make. Certain contracts won't really have much effect because, I mean, they may have effect on performance, but you can work around it. But if you have a firm fixed price contract with a firm delivery date, you may have some delays, and people have to be reasonable and recognize you have to adjust. So I don't have any reason to believe people will be unreasonable. But, you know, there's always a question, and it's always helpful to have some guidance coming from on high saying this is a good way to think about it and so forth.
You bet. We've certainly been hearing a lot from feds over the past month as all of this has unfolded who are upset about what they view as a lack of timely communication from OPM. How's that been on the industry side? What's the information flow from the government been like?
It's about the same in a sense that the initial four and a half million names that OPM actually did contact on that first tranche, there were some contractors, of course, in there. There are also people who transitioned out of government over the last couple of years who were part of that. So they got some of that. We waited. It was a number of days. I think it may have been a week or more. Well, it was actually several weeks before OPM finally came out earlier this week with a statement saying that it was late last week. Remember when they did the 21.5 million
right.
Release? They said that anybody who was impacted, whether they're a government employee or not, would be entitled to the protections that they're offering in terms of credit monitoring and credit insurance and so forth. There were a lot of folks who were wondering, you know, for several weeks, were they going to be protected? So we had companies who had people who may or may not have been vulnerable, who they were just on their own nickel providing credit protection, credit monitoring, and so forth in advance. So there was a little bit of frustration as to why it took so long just to say, and why he couldn't have said right up front, hey, by the way, as we go through this, anybody who's affected, we'll stand up for you. That took a while. So there was a little bit of frustration on that end. I think the other thing, and I don't know if this is absolutely correct, but what I'm hearing, be interesting to know what you've heard, is that with the 21 million, that's not likely to be all proactive notification coming from the government. There may be some letters, but I believe part of the role of the call centers that are being set up will be for people can call to find out if they were impacted. So there may be some affirmative action have to be taken by folks who fear that they fall into that category to find out what really is going on.
That would be an interesting wrinkle. Our impression from what we've heard so far from OPM is that all of the 21.5 would be getting physical mailed letters, but if that's not the case, that is something.
Well, that's a big undertaking, and I think it's great that they're doing it that way, and that's the way it's supposed to happen. But not everybody will get their letters because it's just people move or what have you. So. But that's good to know. I at one point there was some talk that the call centers would be there for people to call to find out if they were impacted. So that's good to know.
Sure. So out of that 21.5 million, I doubt that anyone has a solid number outside OPM. But do you have any guess or sense as to out of that population, how many would be in the contractor community? And are there different considerations if you work in industry versus if you're a government employee whose data was breached?
Considerations in terms of response from the government.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the government is the OPM's made it very clear that that the protections will be the same for anybody who's affected by the breach. So there's no differentiation there. I have no sense of what the numbers are, and I don't think anybody, OPM, as you said, may, but I have no sense of what the numbers are. And remember, this is everybody who applied for a clearance since 2000.
Right.
And then some number of people before that. And so you have government employees, you have special government employees. I was on the board of directors of a federal agency from 2007 to 2012 or 13. I had to fill out an SF-86. I'm neither a contractor nor a regular government employee. So there's multiple different levels of people who were affected, and I think there's just really no way of knowing. A lot of them may have been affected when they were government employees, but they've since transitioned out, or vice versa. So no, we've not seen any estimates.
I think everyone hopes that you're right, that this is fixed within or aligns with your optimism that this is fixed within the next few days. But if it isn't and it drags on for weeks, what are the sort of ripple effects that we can start to see on contracts and throughout the industry?
Yeah, well, I think that's the we're not quite sure how bad those ripple effects will be. You know, OPM did announce the other day that they were going to allow, or actually DNI and the Director of National Intelligence Office announced that they were going to reinstitute paper processing for lower level clearances to relieve some of the burden.
For mission critical ones, yeah.
Right, for mission critical work. But that's, I don't know what the numbers are there, but that's obviously just a small piece of it. I think that if it goes on much longer, you're going to have some issues of having adequate personnel in place performing work. There was talk early on when this was announced that OPM and federal agencies or administration was going to take advantage of authorities to grant temporary clearances, but there are only, I think, three or four entities within government that have that authority, so you'd have to have an affirmative action by the president. He could do it through an executive order or something to provide that authority elsewhere. But that's a tough one. If you're talking about a significant clearance, I don't know there's too many people in government who want the authority to give person X a clearance without having gone through the full investigative process and having the whole record. So I don't think that'll be much of a help. So we're going to be looking at, if this goes on, that 4, 6, 8, 9 weeks or whatever it might be, the backlog will grow quickly. The first couple of weeks, maybe not so much, but then it'll start to expand out. And remember that in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be entering into the busiest 45 days of the federal fiscal year. As we approach the sort of end of July and through August and the very early days of September, that's the busiest spending time in government. So there's going to be the most contract activity, too.
Right. When all the machinery is working and EQIP is online and everything else is online, I think the consensus lately has been that moving everything to OPM has at least sped the process up and gotten rid of the backlog, even though there might be some questions about quality. Having watched this for a long time, what's your impression of at least the speed with which, on a good day, OPM does all this?
I think it's definitely gotten better. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago that we were all pulling our hair out over incredible wait times for clearances. I think that the speed has gotten better, and I don't know that all of the quality problems can be ascribed to OPM or wouldn't have happened in another agency and so forth. So I certainly don't want to make any judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've seen some improvement in the time. We also have, because of the budget cuts, And so some reduced employment, both in government and principally much more so in the private sector. There are people with clearances who are actually in the marketplace. So there's not the shortage there was a few years ago in certain career fields. So there's been a variety of mitigating factors, but I don't think there's any question that as we've gone much more electronic and the work that's been done has helped the process. But there's probably undoubtedly still a lot more that can be done. We still have issues with reciprocity. We still have agencies that don't recognize each other's inconsistencies in the process and so forth, which could even further streamline it without taking out any levels of security. I mean, it'd still be highly secure.
Gotcha. While we have you, Stan, on a completely separate topic, just this week, PSC hosted an event with Anita Bales and Wendy Masiello, the directors of the Defense Contract Audit Agency and Defense Contract Management Agency, respectively, two very important organizations in the contracting world, obviously. Wanted to ask you to just share some takeaways, if you can, for people like me who weren't able to make it to that event.
I think in simple terms, to make it very brief, is I think from the DCAA perspective, the good news coming out was that they have been able to reduce their backlog of audits, incurred cost audits, very, very significantly. Just 2 years ago, there was an enormous backlog, and it particularly impacted mid-tier and smaller companies that don't have permanent audit presence and so forth. And they had some pretty good statistics around where they are on that. Likewise, DCMA was able to talk a little bit about sort of what they're seeing in the field relative to, and I don't want to get too technical, some of the what they call the defense business systems rules and the six basic business systems that need to be approved, and they had some good insight there. Basically, it was a pretty healthy dialogue. I mean, there's some good tough questions asked, but then the great thing about General Masiello and Anita Bales is that they're both very communicative and they're very open to the conversation. So it was actually a really good discussion.